be looking tonight at the thought is sharing our faith. And when I think about sharing faith, I most of the time think about verbally sharing my faith. And but tonight we're going to look at some other a different avenue and look at some scriptures here that kind of go a slightly different direction. You know, I think that there's many around us that need Jesus. You know, that's not difficult for us to see. We see those in our family. We see those in our community, in the world around us that are struggling, that need forgiveness from sin. They need a life that's changed and made new in Christ. They need to be, they need Jesus. And I think the difficult part is understanding how to appropriately share and when to share and how to do that. Because, you know, as Aaron said, you know, how do you help? He's talking about those in his family. How do you do that? And sometimes we don't know. It's very difficult to know what to say or what to do. And so to me, the difficult part is not realizing that people need Jesus, but understanding how to do that. Who is ready to hear about Jesus and how can I share with them? You know, God knows whose time is almost up here on this earth. And as I have worked around people and with people, I have made the mistake before when I realized I should have talked to someone and I didn't, and the time was up. And I never got the opportunity again to share with them. And God knows whose time, whether that's, you know, around us, the people that we're coming in contact with, that we're bumping into, he knows whose time is almost up. He knows who's struggling with difficult situations and decisions in their life. We don't always know that from the exterior and looking on. We sometimes see a pretty good picture, right? We look at somebody's life, we don't realize that they're struggling with a sickness or a decision that's very difficult or whatever it might be, relationship problem. I thought, you know, we look around us and we don't realize those who maybe are contemplating suicide and who are struggling with those kinds of thoughts. A lot of times those are not readily seen from the outside. But God does. He knows. The other thing is we don't know always who God has been speaking to, whose heart has been prepared to hear the good news, or to be ready to accept Christ. There's some that conviction's not there. The time is just not right. As I think about these things, I think, and I come to the realization that it is of the utmost importance that we be tuned in. That we be tuned in to what God would be telling us, who he wants us to speak to, who he wants our lives to impact, how he wants us to do it. I think about families and those around us, those that we care about specifically, but even the ones that maybe we don't have a real good relationship, we still want to see healing in these lives, and healing in families. We want to see God's forgiveness change their lives. We want to see healing from past pains and hurts in people's lives. And I think I want to see people relying on Jesus instead of other things. You know, there's lots of things that people rely on. They rely on drugs and alcohol. That's the big one that comes to mind. They rely on all kinds of things besides Jesus. Some good things and some not. All kinds of things that people run to get relief from pain and to get relief from, you know, peace in their heart, or try to get peace. They need to be relying on Jesus. There is an answer to those difficult things, and that is Jesus. He's the answer. He's the one. It's God has designed it that we would share Jesus with those around us. That's the way that he designed it. There's no plan B. It's God's plan that you and that I would share Jesus somehow with those hurting situations that we just talked about, those people that need Jesus, that's God's plan, is that you and I would do that. There's no other way. Even burdened me at times when I thought about that I'm the one, and that you're the one, and that we're the ones that are to do that. There's not, you know what, if we decide we don't want to, if we decide that we're not capable, or that we're not the one that should share, there very likely could be people in our area of influence that will miss it because we didn't do our part in sharing Jesus. And so that is God's plan, is to have us to share the good news. Now that could be verbally, but it could also be through our life as well, just living an example in front of people. God has chosen you and I to share His love, His mercy, and His forgiveness. I want to read today out of Matthew chapter 5. I'm going to read, I guess it's about 14 verses here. Matthew chapter 5, verse 2 is where I'm going to start. I'm just going to read through, try to do this quickly, like I said, because I want to fit this in a shorter time frame tonight. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 2 is where we'll start reading in the King James Version tonight. And He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, so now reading this verse, we understand that this is Jesus speaking, and the rest of these verses that we'll be looking at. Verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We're going to get a look at a whole bunch of things that Jesus says are blessed people here. Does anybody know tonight what poor in spirit, what that means? Does that mean you walk around with your head down and you're look like a guilty person the whole time? I only tell you what it means, what the definition that I have tonight. It is to be poor in spirit means to acknowledge our deepest human need of God. To acknowledge our deepest human need of God and grow in that longing and that dependence on a daily basis. So poor in spirit is something that means that we acknowledge from in our deepest part that we need God. I want us to reflect on these things tonight, because we're going to look back at them here. But blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, mourn, I think we kind of know what that is, right? To be sad. In my mind tonight, this is specifically those that are truly saddened by the situation in the world around them that they should be saddened about. There's some things that we should be mourning about, and we should be praying about, and we should be concerned about. If we're just not concerned about people that are dropping into hell around us, then something is wrong. And so we should have we should be mourning at times. I don't believe that we should walk around looking like we're a sad person all the time. And so first, poor in spirit, having an accurate view of our need of God, realizing the situations around us that need to be prayed about, that we should be concerned about. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Meekness, I the way I understand meekness, and there's some different definitions on this, a lot of them will just say humble, but and those are very similar. But meekness is having the power to defend yourself and holding that power back. So being able to stand up for yourself, being able to speak out and get even and correct the situation, but choosing to withhold that power and to not do it. And so there's some, anyway, that's how I understand meekness. Not just, now I whenever I talk about meekness, I always have to clarify, it seems anyway, that meekness is not laying down and letting someone run over everybody else in your family and in your life. Meekness is specifically talking, as I understand it, is talking about ourselves. So withholding the power to defend ourselves or to get even for ourselves. And the reason I clarify that is because some people just take that they should just let people run all over their do whatever to their kids or to the person at Walmart. And I believe that Jesus is a good example of meekness, and Moses was also in the Bible as an example of meekness. And both of those individuals that God said were examples of meekness were ones that stood up for other people, but yet at the same time would withhold that power to defend themselves. So it helps us to understand meekness tonight. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Here in verse 6, we see talking about having a desire to have hunger and thirst, a desire to have righteousness, a clean heart, and the absence or the opposite of wicked, righteous. And it says, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. We understand, I think, what merciful is, not always driving the line for someone, but having mercy on them. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. It's verse 8. Pure in heart, a heart that is clean, free from sin. A heart that says yes to Jesus and everything that he wants. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Peacemaker, one that's not always stirring the pot, but helping slow the stir down a little bit, calm things down. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Persecuted not because you said something you shouldn't have, but persecuted for righteousness' sake. It says, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 11, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Once again, we just need to realize that's for Jesus' sake, not because we post something on Facebook that we shouldn't have and now we're getting the heat. For his sake. Verse 12, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Verse 13, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. If a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And we see that Jesus, after he just got talking about all these blessed things in verses 3 through 12 there, I believe it is, that he says that we are the salt, or the thing that's going to make the world better, and light, the thing that's going to bring some light into darkness. And he said that right after he said all of these things. So simply tonight, the realization to me, what God is speaking to me in prepping for this, is that it is not just sharing Jesus by sharing verbally with someone, or sharing the words, or sharing even my testimony, and those are good things to do, but it is in sharing in how my view of my need of God is in my life. How am I acting? Do I have an accurate view of my need of God? Or am I walking around on a place that's higher than it ought to be? These things, as we look at them, can have a direct impact on those around us as they observe our lives. If we have an accurate view, in other words, a poor in spirit, so an accurate view of our need of God. Do we have a right way that we view the things that are difficult around us? Do we mourn? Or are we always joking about things that are, you know, people that are goofing off or messing up? Do we make light of that? Or do we truly show a mournful spirit over something that should be mourned over? These are going to have impact on the people around us. People are going to see Jesus through us in the way that we respond in these situations. Then the meekness. Definitely, if we hold back when we could say something, when we could set it straight, it's going to make an impact on those around us as they observe us acting like that. They're going to see Jesus in that situation. Then the hungering and thirsting after righteousness. A desire, a true desire, just like if we were hungry or just like if we were thirsty, that we would want to have God's righteousness in our life, and we're seeking for that. It's going to impact those around us. The merciful, same thing. If we show mercy, Jesus, people see Jesus through us when we show mercy to others. That's not the normal thing to do in this world. They're merciless, typically. Peacemakers. Oh, I skipped one. Pure in heart. People will see Jesus if we have a heart that's pure. Peacemakers. Then the persecuted for righteousness' sake. For sure they're going to see Jesus in that too. In all of these things. And so, as I was saying, is as I got down to this verse about putting the candle under a bushel and putting the light up on the hill, or not putting it under the bushel and putting it up on the hill, letting people see the light and letting us be the salt, I began to realize that Jesus was speaking to me and saying, this is how I want you to share Jesus with those around you, is by living this way. You know that we could say all kinds of things. We could do all kinds of things to try to share Jesus, everything from, and a lot of good things. We could say the words that we think should be said or we know should be said. We could wear it on our shirt. We could put it on the back of our car. We could put up signs. We could preach on the radio. All kinds of good things that we could do. But if we miss these things, the speaking is not nearly as loud as it should be. The sharing of Jesus is not near what it should be. I just tonight to quickly illustrate. I brought now. If anybody asked me here for a light tonight, this would be the one time that I'd be able to say yes because I actually have a light tonight. Most time I don't carry a lighter, but anyway. So I have this. This is the old school. It's got lighter fluid in it, in a wick. So this is the old school Zippo. But anyway, it's just a lighter. And as you see this light, if we were to turn the lights off in here and it's dark, you'd be able to see my face and probably all your faces just with this little light. And this is what Jesus is telling us, that if we truly want to impact and share him as we should, as he has forgiven us and as he's changed our hearts and he's helped us so many ways, that we wouldn't just hold back and hide this thing under a bushel. An interesting thing, as I was thinking about this and looking at it in the last few days, if you know how you shut this off, right? You just close the lid and it's gone. It made me think, he says that people don't hide the light under a basket. I don't think you can hide it very long before it goes out. That's just the thought that was coming to my mind as I was thinking about that. You know, we should be sharing it. And if the light doesn't shine out, then it's not long before it's going to go out. And it'll be gone. It's of no use to anyone. Hidden underneath. And it's not there. It's gone. See? It's not there. So anyway, God is, just to finish this up quickly, God is calling us to help. If you were to look in Acts chapter 16 and verse 9, you see there where Paul has a vision in the night. There's a man standing there. It says, verse 9 of chapter 16, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. We see that there is people around us that need help, that are saying, come over and help us. Come over, and maybe that is physically go somewhere, but maybe that is just live Jesus out in front of us or in front of them. I'm going to skip some here and go down to the end. Just thinking for towards Easter's in 2 weeks, two Sundays from now. It's a time that we celebrate Jesus raising from the dead, victorious over death and sin. And we have to decide, we have a decision. Are we going to share the light, or do we hide it? Do we let Jesus shine through us? Do we let that light shine to the world around us? Like I said, it could be words, but more importantly, that it shine through in those verses that we looked at in Matthew chapter 5. Or do we hide it and restrict the light from shining around us and bring darkness? That's the thing, isn't it? You pull the light out, you hide the light, there's nothing left but darkness. Darkness to those that are walking the streets around us. Darkness to those in our families. Because we would choose to hide it. Question tonight is, where is he calling you to share? Who is he wanting to impact through your life? Who is he wanting to impact through your life and through my life tonight? Let's be blessed, as Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 5, and let our lives reach and touch those around us.